Pastor Duane Daler died peacefully. He had flu and pneumonia in December, which caused damage to his lungs, and he had a hereditary condition on his lungs. Duane had told me and others that he would never get back to where he was before mid-December. He knew he was dying, and this allowed him to have the time to receive the visits of people who he loved and who cared for him. This time was a gift. It's a gift. It was a gift of God's grace. A week ago Tuesday, Marcia called and said Duane wanted me to come and bring a pad of paper. I knew that we had talked a little bit about planning for his funeral, so I thought that might be what it was about. Duane and I had a unique relationship, in ministry. He served here as pastor from 1980 till 1998, and I have been here since the year 2000. Together, we have been pastor of this congregation for 37 of the last 39 years, and almost two-thirds of the congregation's 60-year history. When Duane left for a retreat center in Minnesota, Marcia stayed here because of her job. And when Duane retired, he came back here and served in some interim ministry and supply ministry. And in that time that he was back here, we got to travel to ministeriums together. Sometimes it was a short distance, like to Mulberry, and other times it was a two-hour trip to Terre Haute. But in this, we had many very engaging conversations. I have stories. Both good and bad. I have stories. I'm not going to tell them here, but I have stories. And one of the great things that we had is we were able to go to Guatemala together and were roommates on several mission trips there. But probably the most significant trip that we made was to Hayesville, Indiana. Duane was the fourth pastor of this congregation, and I am the fifth. And our trip to Hayesville took us to the funeral of Pastor Bill Andrews, who was the first pastor of this congregation. And so that was a unique experience to have us together for that occasion. And Duane and I both had gotten to know Bill in other ways before that time. When I arrived at Duane's room, he wanted to share his theological themes that had shaped his life in ministry. So we talked for about an hour and 45 minutes, and it's my privilege to share to share some of those insights, not all of them. One of the things that shaped Duane early on was the sense of the reversal of fortunes revealed in Mary's Magnificat, that God is uplifting the lowly and bringing down the powerful. Duane talked about how important this was even as a young person in high school. There was a boy who was socially awkward and was physically awkward and came from a family that farmed the bad ground. They farmed in the hills. And he just had that sense that he needed to build a relationship with this friend, because he was one of those who was looked down upon by others. Duane has this sense of looking for those people who appear to be lowly and lifting them up. And you can see that in his photography, when he focused on individuals, how he picked out those people who might not be the most beautiful or the most attractive people, but yet with his photography, he was able to give them character and a unique sense of beauty. The second theme that I would share with you is Duane sees this sense of what God is doing coming to fruition in the crucifixion of Jesus. We humans tend to deny death. We tend to run away from it. Yet in the crucifixion, Jesus enters into that where we neither desire nor want to go. The reality is Christ brings life through death. As Melba had said, he had this sense that it was important to remember that you go through death for life. He talked about how he noticed things in the paper where funerals would be announced as a celebration of life. He said, no, those really need to be, when it's a Christian funeral, it needs to be a celebration of life through death. By dying, we live. I asked Wayne how that statement had an impact on him right now. He said, well, it sets me free. Sets me free to accept what is happening now, and I don't have to fight it. A third theme that was important to Duane was setting people free. He talked about studying the name of Jesus, and in Matthew's gospel, the name Jesus is given to Jesus because it says he will set his people free. He will save his people from their sins. And he wanted to look at that word save and see what image is connected with that. And he said he found it's connected with the work that a shepherd does. At night, a shepherd gathers his sheep together and builds a corral of thorn bushes around them. And that's to protect them. But then in the morning, the shepherd creates openings in those thorn bushes so that the sheep can go out and graze freely. And he saw that as the work of Jesus, of setting people free, free from those things that might oppress them. He said, Jesus sets us free from the fear of mistakes, sets us free from our ego having to prove ourselves and always having to be right. It sets us free from the notion that everything is about me. He really liked Luther's statement, sin boldly and trust the grace of God. Now, that's not a statement to go out and do evil, but it was a statement to say, be about the things of God. And don't be too concerned whether you get everything exactly right. You don't have to be a perfectionist. Because of Christ, life can be lived joyfully in service. You can take risks to help people. You can fall flat on your face. How freeing is that? To be able to know that even when we fail, that God is still with us. And God is there to help us grow and learn through that process. Isaiah gives witness to the awesome responsibility of proclaiming the word of God. It is a responsibility for those of us who have been called by God in the church to take on that task. We are called by God in the church to do some things that sometimes are very difficult. And unfortunately, that call doesn't make us into perfect people. I don't know if you've noticed that or not, but the call doesn't make us perfect. We are earthen vessels or clay jars, as we heard in our reading, so that it is clear that this is not, that this power belongs to God and not to us. Dwayne, like all of us, was not perfect. But the way he touched our lives, the grace he showed us, the love he gave to us, was not just Dwayne, but was the gift of God for us. Dwayne showed us in his failures, in his suffering, and in his death what it is to trust God's grace. Released from the power of sin by God's forgiveness, we are free to enjoy life, free to enjoy serving in God's name, free to fall flat on our face and get up and laugh about it. The last thing that he and Marcia did was choose the readings for this service. He had the time to complete all the things he wanted to do. He had been able to have important visits with people. And when they had finished, he lay back down and went into that rest that is the long rest. In God's grace, he had completed the course. He had run the race, and the race was full. Thanks be to God for the life through death of Jesus Christ and for our brother Dwayne. Amen.